Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Today's a really good day. We have a win streak going in Chicago sports going all the way back to Saturday. The White Sox and Cubs keep on winning. The Bears obviously are 1-0. Allen Robinson reiterates that he wants to be here. The Big Ten college football season is coming at the end of October. Let's talk about it all with our guy, Michael Wilbon, brought to you by Waddle's Guy.
That's correct. Mike brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
Woo-hoo. It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo. Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption, with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, lot to talk about, Michael, and I hear you are in Chicago. Welcome back to your hometown. We just had Jim Phillips on, and as we noted, you've been very skeptical of wanting the Big Ten to return. It is now returning. Do you feel good or bad about this?
I'm glad. I'm a season ticket holder, for God's sake. I'm glad. I'm not going to say happy. There's still risk out there. I don't know that I was cynical. I wanted the presidents of the conference that I belong to, that I'm an alumnus of, to do the due diligence and follow the science. I don't care what the SEC is doing or the Big 12. I don't care what they're doing. Do what the presidents of our universities feel they are charged with doing, and they feel they've done that, and so I'm down with that. And so if we can start football and be as safe as we can, I know there are societal, cultural, economic, peer pressures, all of those things operate and made the Big Ten continue to look at what to do. Good. Examine everything. If you can come up with better testing methods and ways that you think you can keep your athletes, your student athletes, they actually seem to be students in most of our schools. And I'm saying that with great cynicism about some other conferences. Then if you can do that and be more safe about it than you thought you would have been 3 months ago, good. I don't care about the PR. I mean, it's just amazing how many knuckleheads out there are concerned more about the PR than whatever reason it is that you can evolve to get to a point where you can put the product in the field and feel better about it than you did 2 months ago.
Good. Mike, do you think that they have any regrets with regard to canceling or suggesting that whatever it was that they did, canceling so early instead of letting it kind of breathe, knowing that or hoping that some developments would take place?
They may. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody if they regret it. You always have regrets about something that, you know, evolves at a certain rate. I don't care about it. I think the regret storyline is way overblown. Get it right. If you get it as close to right as you can get it, that's all that matters to me. I don't care whether they have regrets or not. And if there's a season, it obviously wasn't canceled. Do they have regrets about the announcement? Maybe. I mean, but in the grander scheme of things, so what? I don't want to hear a team announcing. I don't want to hear a coach in our conference saying most, if not all, of our kids, most but not all, have the virus, had it or have it, like at LSU. I don't want to hear that. That matters to me. I haven't heard anybody asking about that.
Michael Wilbon joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. On a lighter note, the thing that I look forward to most about Bear season, or one of them, is that we start getting included in your text again. that in the middle, like at 2:15 in the middle of a third quarter, we'll get an angry
that
Michael Wilbon text.
As long as I could go without hitting you guys up.
By the way, Sylvie, did you see the video? I saw it on Twitter of Michael and his son Matthew watching the game, and Mike asked Matthew if they needed to replace Mitch right now, and Matthew said yes. Now.
That was at halftime.
At halftime.
Halftime. So did Tony Gonzalez.
Yes,
what are you talking about, a 12-year-old or a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. There were a lot of people that were thinking the same thing at that time.
Yeah, I didn't want him replaced then. I if they had gone ahead to lose that game, they would have been playing blame to go around, but I didn't want to replace after one game. No. No, Tony Gonzalez, by the way, Tony Gonzalez is, I mean, I know I've stood in front of his locker a number of times over the years. Tony is not a knee-jerk guy. He's not a hot-take guy. I mean, he's a thoughtful dude. And so for him to say that, he really, as a former player, you know, of renown, he's looking at this saying, I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
Mike, I think it's the consensus with most of the people. I mean, you know, nationally, whether it's Tony Gonzalez, Michael Strahan was saying the same thing.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's where we are right now, that most of the national analysts, players and non-players, have gotten to that point where they are expecting, or they were expecting, change.
They were. They want it. They're not just expecting it. They're calling for it.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how much you're going to plow this ground already. You know, I want Trubisky to have a full chance with a coach who's engaged and committed to coaching him. And not just, you know, proving his own personal genius. I want a coach who looks at the strengths and weaknesses of Mitchell Trubisky, assesses them, and goes from there, and does the damnedest job he can to coach him. I got spoiled. I covered Joe Gibbs's teams, and people don't even know Joe Gibbs anymore. Forget our audience in Greater Chicago. People don't even know Gibbs outside of Washington. They don't even know him there because it's been too long. Even though Joe Gibbs is still active in competing in NASCAR as an owner. I mean, I saw him, whether it was Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, Mark Rippon, he was like, okay, what do you got for me today? Let's go coach the guy I have today. That's what I saw. We got a guy named Tim Smith running the ball. That's fine. We can play a Super Bowl with him. Oh, wait, he can rush for a then-record 207 yards in the Super Bowl. That's fine. Let's play. What do we got? We got Art Monk at 6'3", 210 pounds. He just retired. Let's go get these Smurfs, these guys with 5'7". That's fine. Let's coach them. I got spoiled because I got to see that up close and personal. And now I just see, I don't know what I see. I see people who can't call timeouts when they're supposed to.
Ooh, yeah, oof.
I see play calling that's insane, that has Matthew Stafford trying to go down the field in traffic on third and whatever. And maybe that's more on Stafford than it is on whoever's calling plays for Matt Patricia. I don't know. I just, you guys know where I stand on how the game is coached. I think it's less than it was 30 years ago during the time I'm talking about guys like Joe Gibbs, and he had to go every week against the likes of Bill Parcells and, you know, Jimmy Johnson, whoever. I look at this now and I just go, I don't like this. And I want to see Mitch Trubisky. Look, I'm not expecting every quarter to be the fourth quarter, but let's play with some urgency. And when I say urgency, I'm not talking about pace. I'm talking about urgency, commitment to knowing what he does well. And doing that. And, there's been too many times I haven't seen it.
We thought for one game, and it's only one game, that Nagy had a pretty good game. And
down
17, yep. Michael, they did not give up on the run. And last year, he gave up the run in the first quarter often.
Yes. Now, I would like to have seen a few more runs when they were down two scores. But, yes, I agree with you. I thought that this was a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. I mentioned that earlier today. Is that I can name a number of things. They came out and they ran the ball. They stayed committed to running the ball. You saw Mitch under center for the majority of the time. You saw a lot of the passing came off of run action. I thought you saw Matt do some really good things for the last year. I was more critical of Matt than I was Mitch because I expected more of Matt than I did Mitch. Sunday, I saw Matt try to put his quarterback in position to take advantage of what he does well.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, good. But that's like, you know, that Chris Rock rant. You don't get extra credit for doing stuff you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's what a coach is supposed to do. So do it again. Do it every week. And I know it doesn't come out perfect every week. I get that. But do it every week. Let's see it again this week against the Giants. Don't go back on it. Don't try to prove something. Play with this guy. Play with him.
Did it bother you at all that Allen Robinson created a little bit of drama on the off day on Tuesday? Today,
I didn't even know about it. I was traveling yesterday, and I was paying attention to NBA. And so I didn't even know about it. Matthew, who was Allen Robinson's his favorite player, I don't know how this came to pass, but he just went crazy. I get a text when I land last night of like 20 paragraphs. I said, wow, I didn't know this kid could write this long. And it was all about Allen Robinson and, Dad, what are we doing? And I just said, can you stay calm? It's week one. I'm talking to Kornheiser. And I was glad to hear today when I sat in the seat that there was no more Allen Robinson drama, and I can't wait to call Matthew. I waited at least until after his distant learning session so I can now call and scream at him for being an alarmist.
Kind of like you were for the first half of the game on Sunday, right?
I didn't think I was that bad.
Oh, really? Okay.
Was that that bad?
No, I've heard you worse.
Yeah. And you were texting with other people that you know. We all do that now. It's great to have a text chain of people we have. I didn't think I was that. My son three times at halftime. Let's not bench him. You know, most people did. I mean, I wasn't with Tony Gonzalez and Mike Strahan and two guys that.
But when you're watching them for 45 minutes, basically play unwatchable football, you have to be sitting there going, "Holy Mother of Mercy!
More of
this."
Yep, that's exactly what it was. I was to the point where I certainly thought at the end of three quarters, down three scores, they were going to lose the game. I grant you that. Because I even remember I had to start a tweet that started, on the other hand, because I was already setting up what they do this week. So, you know, I wasn't expecting that kind of great comeback with that offense. And that, I mean, the third down efficiency was dreadful.
They were 0 for 7, I think, at one point.
I think it was 0 for 7. They were like the Clippers shooting threes last night.
Ooh, and that's another conversation.
Yeah. And so, I didn't expect them to come back and win, but I wasn't ready to bench Mitch Trubisky, which I think at the moment was a bigger issue. I mean, you can't just go game by game with a quarterback. Tom, you know that better than I will ever know that. You can't go game by game with a quarterback. With who you're going to have in there, and are you going to bench? I mean, you may do that in your heart and your head in the meeting rooms with the coaches. You can't project that. That's not any way to go.
Well, don't you guys?
You know, a season after a kid went, you know, what was he out of the 12-4? He was 11-3, maybe. I was disturbed, but I wasn't like ready to jump off of anything yet, like most of the metropolis.
If Mitch has done anything, guys, don't you think that because of the comeback, that if they're struggling against the Giants here, that at the very least, he gives himself the entire game that they're not going to Foles? Because you got to give room for him to come back again.
Well, it depends on how bad. If he was to be bad, how bad are we talking about? I don't know that.
Mike, it doesn't get much worse than what we saw in the first 45 minutes against a bad defense.
He didn't throw any picks. It could get worse. We've seen worse. Pick six, baby. We've seen it. Did I remind you guys?
No, I
have you forgotten what really bad looks like with the Bears offense? I haven't, because I'm older than you two. I've had more years of it.
We saw it last year in New Orleans. We saw it against Green Bay a couple of times. We've seen it.
We know it can get worse. I would hope that everybody would be calmer about it, that Mitch would be even calmer because he is holding the reins, and you want him to say to himself over and over again, we still got this. And the coaching staff and the people in the huddle, yes, you need all of that. But that doesn't mean just because you need it, it's coming. I mean, we saw a team last night. I know I keep going back to this analogy. We saw a team last night with two guys who were going to be paid like $200 million each. We saw those guys panic last night and go in the tank. So don't tell me Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offensive players can't do that, because anybody other than proven multiple champions, and Kawhi is a proven multiple champion, and he did it.
Yeah.
So sports is, I mean, you know, it's delicate, man. It's a delicate balance you strike every week.
All right, I want to ask you that about the Clippers coming up next, including this question. Could one of Chicago's very own come home after what happened last night?
That's coming up.
That's coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Michael Wilbon continues to join us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So the Clippers are out. Very disappointing. They have never been to the Western Conference Finals. And Michael, Doc Rivers, is his future uncertain in L.A.? And if it is, would he want to come home and coach the Bulls?
Well, let me start by saying this is a shocking loss at this round. Let's face it, the moment they got those two guys, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you just figured, okay, they got the support players, they've got the role players, they've got everything covered, they've got a great coach who's won a championship. You know, they're going to get at least until the conference finals, and then we'll see whether or not they can beat LeBron and Lake. That was the storyline I think most of us presumed, and it just got turned upside down. And because they didn't, and because of the way they went out with these double-digit leads in the final three games, closeout games, you just look at it, you go, my God, what is lacking with them? How did they get to lose like that? And I don't know what they do. Like, what is it that Ballmer's got, the owner, Steve Ballmer, he's like $75 billion. He may be the richest owner in the league. What he can pay into the luxury tax, it doesn't make any difference. So he can still try to improve that roster, even though in terms of main guys, they're up against it in terms of salary cap. But what does he want? He's building a new arena in L.A., right near the football arena. We also still gorgeous out there on Sunday night. What does he want? He loves Doc Rivers. That I know. I've spent enough time around the two of them. I just wouldn't fire Doc Rivers. I just wouldn't.
How much of what has happened, though, sticks to Doc, Mike?
Well, I mean, that's just it. But here's one problem. There's one big problem. You know, everybody wants to try to, you know, drive a narrative based on things they can point to. Well, you can point to Doc being as terrific as he's been, and everyone agrees on that. He's the only coach out there who's lost more than one series after being up 3-1.
Three times,
right? He lost three of them. Nobody else has lost two.
Yeah.
Three of them. And, you know, that sticks to you. But, again, it's their first time together. It's an odd season. They seem to – I talked to people inside and out of the bubble, but inside and around the league this morning, and what I got was a lot of people who thought they didn't have great chemistry, that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are relatively quiet to themselves guys, even though they're the best players on the team. And the guys with all the mouth, you know, are, you know, like Morris and Montrezl Harrell and, you know
– Pat Bev.
And Pat Bev, they have all the mouth, they have all the attitude. I mean, I will tell you this, players around the league seem relatively happy that the Lakers, that the Clippers went down last night. And I was, you know, I was learning something just listening to people talk about the Clippers and what they thought went wrong and what they expect. And people do love Kawhi still, and they do love Doc still. The jury's out because they like Paul George, but he's failed in any number of attempts in closeout games and big games, or not. So what do you do with all that? Like, do you wind up trying to replace Doc Rivers? And if you do, what does he do? I mean, Doc could go to television. He could just retire and play golf every day for a while. I don't know.
That's what I want to get after, Michael. Let's say that they do say, all right, we love you, Doc. We need to go in a different direction. He's been coaching for a long time, and he would be courted by the networks. And maybe he wouldn't want a rebuild like the Bulls. But do you think that he would be very tempted to want to coach his hometown team?
I'm going to say this, and people need to understand, yes, because I've talked to Doc Rivers. Oh, yeah, what about this? He and Doc talk. We do. I have not asked him this question. Have not. There was a time in which I asked him about the Bulls all the time. That stopped years ago.
If you were to advise him, Mike.
So I wouldn't presume that, but I would say he would have to listen. I mean, not only that, you're looking at relationships. I know how fond the Reinsdorfs are of Doc Rivers. So Would you want to have a conversation? Well, of course you want to have a conversation with a person I still think is one of the most, first of all, he's one of the best coaches in the league. He's one of the most important. And what we, for the last couple of months, shows the respect Doc Rivers has among players, his own and others who don't even play for him. So would you have a conference? Would you pick up the phone and say, Doc, we got to talk? Yes, you would. Unless you just have your eye on somebody who is young to go through a rebuild with you. Maybe, you know, maybe they have that. Maybe the Bulls guys have that now. I don't know. But I would I pick up the phone and call Doc Rivers? Hell yeah. Will Doc Rivers entertain that phone call? He'd take the call, whether that's in his top five things to do, I don't know. Like I said, look, Doc was also, to me, there's like two guys out there, there's a lot of guys out there who are great in terms of color commentary, as we used to call it, on games. There are a lot of guys out there who are great, who are, including, you know, Jack and who I love together, love listening to. But Doc Rivers, in order, Doug Collins and Doc Rivers, they're just my two favorite, I think, probably ever. I'm biased toward Doc. Yes, I am. But if he wanted to live in L.A. and keep his lifestyle and have no stress for a while, he could do that. He wouldn't have to answer the phone and coach anybody. He's earned that, too. But I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to coach right away. I don't know if he'd want to dive back in without a break, if coming home appeals to him like it appeals to us that he should come home. Doesn't mean it appeals to him. So, but would I pick up the phone and call Doc Rivers? You know it. Do I hope that Doc engages? If this is if there's a parting of the ways, big if. Because if I'm the Clippers, man, I gotta think about replacing some of the pieces, staying with Doc and trying this thing is a lot closer to what we used to call a normal season.
How much chance do you give the Nuggets to get past the Lakers?
I mean, a puncher's chance. I mean, I didn't give them any chance to get past the Clippers. None. I didn't. And I thought they could make it a series because I thought, look, at the beginning of the season, I was ready to say that either Denver or Utah would lead the West in wins. Not saying they were better than the Clippers or the Lakers. I just thought their teams had been together. Well, certainly the Nuggets had last year gone through a lot. I thought they could lead the West in wins. They didn't do that, but I think they're really good. The best players on the floor for the series were Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got the two best players in that series, okay, you're not going to have the two best players in this series. But if you can match them somehow, but I just think LeBron is not going to have, the Lakers are not going to have the chemistry issues and the issues of who leads and who follows. The Lakers are not going to have those issues that the Clippers had because that's LeBron James' team. And they're just not going to have that.
You compared Bam's block to something that Bill Russell would have done.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can come up with. LeBron's blocks are great. They won a championship. They've won many games. They come from behind. He blocked somebody. There was a dunk he blocked. I'm trying to think. I saw the highlight last night. I was reminded. But it wasn't in a game like this. It wasn't in – it was seven? That's, you know, game one. Game one for that. But conference finals where – Bam is facing him. He sees somebody as tall as he is, longer than he is. Jason Tatum is coming to throw it down. He took it strong. That's as strong as you can take something without knocking somebody down. And his hand, his elbow is rim. His elbow is at the rim. He's throwing this thing down. And to block it like that with your hand and your wrist, and your body doesn't make a foul, that's Bill Russell to me. And I was glad to hear Magic say, and I have worked with Irvin for so long, I know what a historian he is. And when he says that's the greatest defensive, single defensive great play I've seen in the playoffs ever in my life, Magic isn't a prisoner of the moment. So that was a wild to so, because I went out, I ran my mouth as Russell and only Russell. And that's who we're in. Oh, Russell, maybe Chamberlain. I mean, Chamberlain had blocks. My God, Chamberlain had blocks. But nobody did it as exquisitely as Bill Russell. And for people who don't know and they just think Bill Russell is an old guy in a wheelchair, then get on YouTube and go look him up, damn it. Don't be lazy. Look up Bill Russell and his block shots, all you little knuckleheads out there.
Michael, really quick, because we have to run. Where? Because I wanted to ask you one thing about the Cubs. Where did Saturday night's moment with Jason Hayward against Hader down 2-0 rate in your Cubs watching regular season games in the last few years?
Well, since 16, it's you know, they had some big regular season games in 17 too. But and remember, I walked out of a moment that was at least that good. I walked out of that pinch hit grand slam. Who hit that, Bodie?
Yeah,
out there at Wrigley Field, that pinch hit grand slam down 3-0. I walked. I was there.
That's crazy.
With the sun begging not to leave, and said, "Hey." So it's I'm not going to go crazy and say it's singular, but against Hader, that was a scream out loud. That was a scream out loud moment. And you know, it's interesting. You mentioned that. See, you guys have asked me about that before the no hitter, and there've only been 16 of those. Right. I think, by the way, I think I've seen, like, of the 16, there were 4 that happened before I was born. 4 that happened in the previous 2 centuries ago. But then there were, like, 10 of them, I think, where I could have seen at least some of them, at least some of the game. I think I've seen all 10, at least some moments live. Joined in progress, you know, that's the great advantage of having, as a kid, WGN. You could see games that none of your peers, none of the people know.
I think we lost.
Jed Brickhouse calling games and Milt Pappas, which should have been a perfect game. I saw all that stuff.
I think we're losing Michael. Michael, we're losing you. I got to put you back on. Tell Michael thank you, and we'll talk to him next week. The phone at the end.
Nothing happened before Wilbon was born.
That's right.
The earth was created when Wilbon was born.
Free Michael.
Yeah.
All right, hang in there, Mark. We're going to get to Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Lots of fun coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, if you want to talk to Mark Jean Greco, the number is 312-332-3776. I'm sure you had a full log of sports.
We certainly
nice
did
log
today.
Of sports,
yes,
you have
we
over
did.
There, sir.
Big steaming log of sports.
Hey, that's a log as far as.
Yeah,
like
how far is the old log in? Right. Anyway, actually, today started. We did a full show in the parking garage. Me, Waddle, and Meller.
Yeah, and JR was there too.
Yeah, and we got the whole thing down. But you look at. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We knew this is how it's going to shake down. The Big Ten just could not avoid the money grab. So you get the students on campus, you get their tuition money, you get their room and board money, then you lock them in their dorms so the football players can play a season, and you get the TV money, and the angry mob backs off the gate for a little while. So we cannot survive as a culture without football. That's become clear. And it's just a big money grab. Now, the Big Ten will say, hey,
you're suggesting then that all of their doctors are just on the take then with that perspective.
Well, you know, there's claiming new and expanded safety measures now.
Well, I think that, listen, I think there is some legitimacy to that. First of all,
I hope so, but
the testing has improved. I think they've looked at other leagues and other sports to see how they've handled things. Major League Baseball has done a brilliant job. The bubbles have done excellent jobs. So far, the NFL, now, you know, you always cross your fingers, but so far you've been able to create a doable environment.
Exactly. But let's just keep it to the Big Ten. If you're the parents of a player, can you trust the conference? Can you trust these coaches? Can you trust the commissioner? ADs and presidents?
I would trust my kid inside the very meticulously planned athletic environment more so than an average student that's just hanging out in a dorm room. These kids are going to get tested on a consistent basis. If they are positive, they're going to get all of their organs screened. I knew that would get you. You're going to get all of, like, your heart's going to be Listen, you're going to be more looked after, in my humble opinion. As a father, I would be more than okay. I would be more comfortable with my child involved as a student athlete than I would just as a student.
True. I mean, players are privileged people.
They're going to
have the best.
Yes.
Okay.
Would you want your kids to go to college now, Mark?
No.
Like, if your kids were of college age, would you keep them at home?
That'd be a tough decision. I'd probably have to keep him at home. I don't know.
What? Really?
My alma mater opened up on time, and they have everybody on campus and everything else, and so far nothing's gone horribly wrong. But I don't know. And, you know, the governor's taken a lot of heat for shutting down the high school sports and sticking to it and not backing off. What's the difference between an 18-year-old senior in high school and a 19-year-old freshman in college? Not much. So, you know, I'm not asking rhetorical questions. I'm not being a smartass. I'm actually asking you as a parent and everybody as a parent, can you trust the Big Ten? Can you trust, you know, the SEC? Can you trust the ACC? Because first and foremost,
can you trust any environment? Can you entrust any employer?
I think
can
the answer is no. I want Fauci to go around to every Big Ten school. Okay, I'll feel better.
Well, how is that going to solve
any
issues?
Just have him check it
out. To do what?
Just see if everything's on the up and up.
Like, so you just want him to give you his blessing, and then all of a sudden you're going to be fine with your...
If you had to get a blessing from somebody to make you feel better about yourself,
you want Fauci to walk into Michigan State, and when he comes out, give you the gladiator Joaquin Phoenix sideways thumb, and then you just have to wait for him to go thumbs down.
Absolutely. Right.
What would constitute a thumbs down?
Ohio State.
The behavior
they're
or
the
just
only
the
team
school.
That's going to be eligible for the playoff.
Playoffs, the end of the world. Oh my God, that's right. Now here's another argument. Is it okay to qualify for the playoffs if you only play 7 or 8 games?
Well, as long as you're the champion of that conference.
I don't think that's fair. SEC schools are going to play 10 games.
They're playing. Oh, the Big Ten's playing 9 and a championship.
Oh, they're playing 8.
Yeah. 9 weeks, 8 games.
I thought it was 8 games
okay,
and
eight
then 1. I thought it was
like,
8
at this point,
one.
I'm not going to quibble about it. Okay?
Why not expand the playoff?
There are other arguments to get into.
Why not expand the playoff this
year? I'm in with that as well. I'm doing that. I'm in.
I like the way Pat Fitzgerald described the reaction by his players. The fake high five. The air high five, the elbow, and no dumping water.
Listen, again, you know? I think there's two things that – the first thing that gets me kind of going is I said this earlier to the guys. Like, now the athletic department, you're the boogeyman over here. Whereas, don't tell me it's a money grab over here. The money grab is bringing all of your students back in, cashing their tuition checks, and having them cash also your room and board checks.
That's so what I just
tell
said.
Me, no, I'm
I
saying,
agree. I
don't
agree.
Don't tell me that it's just the greedy football and basketball and all those other sports. It's the sports department that's
doing. No. I didn't mean that at all.
I'm not
it's
saying
the
you.
Chancellor.
I'm saying
it's the president.
I'm
it's
saying
the
in
school.
General.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to point to sports and go, oh, you just did it because of the money. Really? Why do you think little Johnny and Susie are in their dorm right now? In some instances, they got you on campus. And then they told you, don't come out of this room over here. Why? So they could cash your tuition and your room and board check. So don't tell me that the...
And also so the players could play. Because if you don't have anybody on campus, it's hard to justify playing games and just having student athletes on campus.
So when you say, can I trust the ADs of the Big Ten, I would ask you, can I trust the president of the university?
That's what I meant.
In the same manner. How is he allowing students on it? Like, because those students aren't going to be given... the same type of medical care as the student athletes.
To me, it's all one. I blame it as the school, all inclusive. It's the president, the chancellor, the AD, you know, the coaches.
So, what's the alternative? That they all stay at home?
There is no alternative. The alternative is no football at all, and we can't live without it.
But my point is why? Again, you're pointing at football. I'm telling you that there's a greater chance that the kids that are in the dorm are going to have a bigger issue than the football players who maybe find themselves in somewhat of a quasi-bubble environment.
In a more privileged situation than your average student.
Correct.
Yes.
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 That's reality.
That's one of the things that needs to be addressed, and they claim they're addressing it. You could have a bunch of kids on campus full of COVID and keeping your football players protected and playing, and is that right? No, it's not at all. So... they've got to make all this testing available to all the students on campus. And they've got to go through the protocol with every student, not just a student
athlete.
Maybe
part of your tuition check should go towards consistent COVID testing.
How about free COVID testing?
Whatever, however you want to do it.
College costs enough where you can get that included.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Already, you know.
Okay. I think we've solved this. Let's move on.
Okay, that's good.
What about climate change?
Here's what I want to know what you're hot about regarding the Allen, because we did not have you on when the Allen Robinson stuff broke.
Okay.
So, okay, so it sounds like you're over that.
No, I'm on it.
We also had a good conversation about baseball with a lot of baseball fans today with our two first-place baseball teams, as if you're is into it, if not even more so than you thought you would be. We'll pick your brain on all that coming up next.
Okay, not much to pick.
This hour brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So I'm sure back in your day, Mark, in the recent history, but because of social media, that you've scrubbed your social media, I'm sure.
Whoa, you scrubbed
Have you scrubbed
what?
Your pictures from you social media at all?
No, I'm clean. I've got a nice family photo album going.
You never have had to scrub some pictures?
No.
Like Allen Robinson did. Like all of a sudden, like you had a bunch of pictures.
Do you think I should scrub all my references to ABC7
ESPN back in the day?
No. Never. Hey, listen, I did all my damage before social media. So with the advent of Facebook and Twitter and everything else, I've had to keep a lower profile.
So you're done with the Allen Robinson story?
No, I'm not done with it. I'm continue to blame the Bears. They're solely responsible. How do you screw this up? Your best offensive player. Not only team leader, community leader. The guy's perfect.
They haven't screwed it up yet.
No, but they can't be close if he's taken down all his Bears references on social media platforms and his agent, you know, is doing the old switch and, you know,
take.
We didn't ask for a trade.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, bait and switch. So, you know, this just plays out in the media. This is round and round. This is the way it goes. This is how you negotiate. Why wasn't it done before the season? That's the thing. This is going on and on and on. Now the Bears will say, well, it's been very uncertain with COVID and, you know,
I think having a couple of these receiver contract extensions been signed in recent times.
DeAndre Hopkins just got his money.
I think you're looking more at Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen was months ago.
How long ago was it?
Like a month ago, at least. Right? Offseason.
I think so.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's more in line. But even with DeAndre Hopkins, okay, he's at the top. But at least the pay scale's laid out now.
Oh, I'm with you.
So you slot Allen Robinson where he belongs.
Oh, he's Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's $20 million a year. I said this all day yesterday. I think he's a better receiver than Keenan Allen.
Isn't Robinson younger than Keenan Allen?
They're probably comparable age.
You're
but Keenan Allen's got more catches and more yards because he played in a system where they had Phillip Rivers and they were throwing it.
The Bears have screwed this up. You alienate one of your best players. Okay, now, all right, I'm going to stay. I'll play out the year. We'll see what happens. Everything's nice now. But just to create that ill will, why is that necessary?
Well, let me ask you this.
You've got a quarterback you cannot rely on, and this guy is his go-to guy who can bail him out on third down and go deep and everything else. Let's accent the positive, okay?
And Lance Briggs asked for a trade back in the day. Did you think that the Bears were in the wrong in the Lance Briggs stuff?
Yes. Give Lance his money.
That turned out fine, didn't it? Lance at one time said, I'm never going to play for the Bears again.
Well, I think Urlacher did too.
But we just said, this is the ploy. This is how it goes, back and forth. I'm always going to blame management on everything.
That's true, yes.
Come on. I'm with the players. I'm with the employees. I'm with the workers.
Yeah.
Listen, okay? I don't feel strongly that anyone has done anybody wrong yet. Like, I think the Bears should pay him. And the problem is the market value now for him is $20 million a year, because that's what Keenan Allen got. That's what the kid Amari Cooper got. That's what the position in somebody like him commands. He's not underpaid right now. The contract he signed was very fair. He's making $14, $15 million a year now. They haven't done him wrong. I just think it would be in their best interest to sign him to a contract extension, and he's asking for market value. And market value just happens to be, because of recent wide receiver signings, $20 million a year.
Correct. Well, why can't you give him a $5 million a year bump with a year left on his deal?
I would.
There it is.
I'd resign.
We've solved that problem.
You know he would take that?
Now, how about forest fires in California? Can we fix that?
I don't have enough info on
that. Above
tropical storms. We got to fix that now, too.
I took one meteorology class.
I'm feeling good today. We're knocking off every issue. We've got answers for everything.
No issues with our baseball team.
Not at all.
How many nights in your career have you sat there logging terrible Chicago baseball, trying to get one or two good highlights on the 10 o'clock sports?
About 30 out of the 38 years I've been here.
And the thing about now, like every night there's something fun.
And you know what it is? You know what it is now? What do you lead with, Cubs or Sox? I go back and forth, you know, and I just flip them. If the Sox are winning and the Cubs game isn't over, or the Cubs are losing, lead with the Sox, vice versa. If the Sox game isn't over, which, you know, American League games still go longer, you just flip them back and forth. And then, Tommy, you and I were talking about this off the air the other day. You're not going to please everybody. It's like, Mark, how come you always lead with the Cubs?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
No,
how come
you're
you always lead with the Sox? No, I'm not.
Yeah, well.
Today you lead with the Big Ten, then you go Bears.
That people are watching, though, because they're complaining.
But I want them to know I'm listening. Okay, I'm listening.
You're listening, but you're not making decisions based on anything they have to say.
I can be swayed.
No, you can't.
If it's 50-50.
No, you're a stubborn ass. You know that. Come on. You know, we all are. We're
all
stubborn
It depends what happens
asses.
In the game, doesn't it?
It does depend on what happens in the game, and it depends how they ask me.
Yeah.
Ask me nice.
Put the White Sox on front.
Colonel Jessup, I want you to ask me nice.
Do you still get calls to the sports office? Say, Mark,
nobody uses the phone anymore. The phone's just for show. Nobody uses the phone. I get it on Facebook and Twitter.
That was a lot of work back in the day. When I interned for Gene Greco in 92, half the stuff was having me screen calls that they wouldn't have to get through to Gene Greco. And a lot of them, they were complaining about who was the lead story on this. Everything
and
like that.
Then we would just tell Silly to make something up.
Yes, you know. Right. Yeah.
Mr. Gene Greco's in the bathroom right now.
Yeah,
can't talk.
Mark's
to
in a meeting.
He's in a meeting. There.
Yeah.
It's 5 to 10.
He had some bad pizza.
5 to 10, he's in a meeting.
He's had some bad pizza.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, screaming and yelling. Yeah, you know, you learned phone skills there. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
You learn patience.
Yeah, you can't hang up on people. You have to be professional and diplomatic.
Oh, do you know how cool I used to think I was when I used to go, sports, this is Mark.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Gene Greco,
I'm getting to answer the sports phone at NBC 5.
Remember sports phone?
Cool. No,
remember,
not sports, but
I know,
the
but
sports
remember
department.
Sports phone when you'd call the number and they'd give you scores?
My parents wanted to kill me. It was 9761313.
Yeah, I think David Schuster started on there.
He just reads scores to me.
Yeah.
What's that? I still call Fred and he'll just read scores to me.
That's great.
Call him at home and he just says,
but he'll read it to you in a really bad
mood. Earlier today, the Padres beat the Dodgers 3-2.
He'll be chugging beer and he'll read it to you in a bad mood.
They were in the 70s, they were recorded sportscasts like every 20 minutes. 9761313, and it would be Schuster and Huebner and Canellis and Joniak and Hoffman.
It's like, what was it, like Fandango? They tell you what movies are playing, too.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me the score that you want?
Exactly.
I want the Cubs to win 7-5. Well, then they won 7-5. Yeah.
That's why I love Super 70s sports, because it touches on all those kind of things back in the day.
Yeah.
Hey, what's on the baseball show tonight, guys?
Who's the American League MVP?
Jose Abreu.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tim Anderson
in 377. Can't field worth a crap, but hey, he can be the MVP. He's an average fielder.
Okay.
Makes a lot of errors.
Now
you're going to get those calls.
I know.
Yeah, Sox fans, call the ABC.
It's the end of the show. I love the guy. He should be MVP for his bat, not for his glove. The most diehard Sox fan will agree with me. Little shaky in the infield, okay? But it doesn't matter. We don't care.
The phone number to call the ABC 7 news desk, 312-750-7777.
No, that number doesn't exist anymore. That number doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't?
No, it's gone.
And the Google search didn't work. Mark G. Greco, as always, is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. They're going to roll out the red carpet for you. The forecast looks amazing over the next week to 10 days. Head out to the patio of Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Have yourself a glass of red wine, a steak, the bacon appetizer.
I'm in.
Maybe some of that lobster escargot. Yeah.
Spill the wine. Take that sole. Yeah.
He likes the Dover sole, Marky.
Yeah.
And Waddle likes the bone-in filet.
And the red wine.
And then go Brazino if you don't do Dover. Just switch it up a little bit.
Very, very good.
I'm in.
All right, Mark. Okay. We will talk to you on Friday.
Okay, guys.
There you go. There goes
baseball
Mark
show's next, people.
Yeah, 2 minutes away from the baseball show. Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah. For Mark Ian Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.